Hi, I'm TJ, and I'm golfing in Addison, Illinois, and you're listening to Outside the Loop, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thank you very much, TJ. I appreciate the intro. Welcome to Outside the Loop. Yes, this is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. It is wonderful to be here with you today for show number 1032. And what we do here on the program is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. Bob Ferguson is our engineer on duty today in the WGN radio studios. So hello to Bob. And you heard TJ there, who was golfing in Addison. And I never really got into the sport of golfing. I don't mind it. It's not my number one. My kids are kind of getting into golf, and they are way better than I am. So I've played in a handful of golf outings in my lifetime. And when I say played in golf outings, that word played is doing a lot of work. I was there. I took some swings at the ball, kind of hacked at it. Here's the thing, though. I love mini golf. Mini golf's great. It's exciting. And these golf courses, a lot of these golf courses around here especially, they're beautiful. Beautiful places. It's great to go onto a golf course and see the view. But what if we combined mini golf with regular golf? So we would have a big old 9-hole course, but the windmill, the spinning windmill thing, we can make a giant one of those. We can make a giant moat. I think that's a slam dunk. Well, now I'm mixing sports here. Hold on. Well, speaking of slam dunks, we will learn about a new locally based basketball program that works to help kids become great basketball players on and off the court. And there's a new report out about how to improve teaching math in Illinois schools so we could see better student outcomes. The authors of that report will be here on the show. So let's tee it up. Shoot the three. I'm all over the place right now. Mini golf, anyone? For a lot of families, youth sports can feel like an endless cycle of travel tournaments and packed weekends. But what if the focus shifted back to teaching the game? Matt Maloney is a co-founder of Three Level Basketball, a Chicagoland player development program created by experienced high school coaches who believe fundamentals, skill development, and basketball IQ should come before the travel ball grind. Matt and his fellow founders are building a different model, one that emphasizes quality coaching, purposeful competition, and helping young athletes improve both on and off the court. Earlier this week, I visited an evening practice at the McCook Athletic and Expo Center in McCook, Illinois. I caught up with Coach Maloney after the practice in the parking lot because it was getting late and they had to close the gym. This is what it sounds like.
That's 3-0. White. Ready? Go. 45. 45. Good. There you go. We're on game 45. Ready.
We're trying to do myself, Vince Doran, and Jason Apoka are really trying to provide just kind of a different experience in the world of AAU and really teaching high-level concepts at younger ages, which we have felt that there was an emphasis on gameplay and not so much on skill development and concepts and reads and strategies. So we really are trying to provide an opportunity for students of the game to learn at a younger age. And again, kind of more of that emphasis on learning the game, teaching the game, rather than playing an insane number of games.
Right. I mean, that's the one thing I noticed as I was watching this practice is that, you know, it's one thing for kids to go out and scrimmage. and play against each other in terms of like, hey, let's just go play and shoot around. But what you were doing, it was really walking through, I mean, step by step, these fairly, I mean, from my vantage point, an intricate play or intricate plays, but really breaking down the game. And that's really what you're focusing on here, because you're developing skills, and that's really the area of focus, isn't it?
So I would say that what we're really trying to do is teach varsity level and even college level concepts at a much younger age. So our players may not necessarily see it immediately, but it's the long game. In 2, 3, 4 years, they're going to know the game hopefully much better than some of their peers, because they have been exposed to some high level concepts, space and pace, and again, teaching them how to play, not necessarily how to run a big stack of plays. And we are big believers in, when we do any sort of scrimmage like action, it's controlled, there's structure, there's teaching. It's not just roll the basketball out there and kind of just get up and down and get a run in, but get something in that's really focused on learning the game, learning concepts, playing together. Again, the whole concept of space and pace with the shot clock coming to the IHSA, so players can kind of understand the game at a much higher level. And we think that what we're doing is applicable to any high school program they're going to go to. So right now we just have two levels that we're kind of trial teams. We have our 2 14U teams and 2 12U teams, but next spring we're going to blow it up 4th grade through 17U. So we're excited to offer just, again, a different option in the world of AAU, one that is more focused on skill and teaching, with games that still happen, but a much higher practice to game ratio than what we have seen over the years.
Is that how you're different? I mean, do other programs kind of focus more on the scrimmaging or the playing against each other as opposed to what you're doing with the skills?
Well, we know there are other programs who do emphasize skill development. We just found, like myself having a 9-year-old daughter, that there's so many games that are being played that players don't compete as much because there's always a promise of another game. Losses don't sting because you're guaranteed how many games. And everyone's excited to play a game, and you should be. But I think about it from being a high school history teacher, that, you know, our units are 2, 3, sometimes 4 weeks long, depending on the course you're in. And then you have your summative, like your, which essentially, I look at game day essentially as such. So to actually flip it on its head is what we've been seeing, is that there's actually more of those summatives, more games, and very limited practice time to actually prepare for the test or whatever that game-like situation is. The players have not been skilled up enough to know how to adjust and how to adapt. And so it just becomes another game, and it doesn't carry as much weight as if you're building up to something, you feel like it's a reward, or you're putting what you learned to the test.
One thing I noticed is that you were handing out, and again, you know, you're a teacher, you've been a coach for a long time, but you were handing out kind of the rundown for the practice, and it was, you know, 7:30 to 7:35, we're doing this drill, and we're going to focus on these skills, and 7:40 to 7:50, we're doing this. The amount of preparation and detail, that's something that I think maybe not a lot of us think about when we think about a really good basketball camp, but you know, both of us are teachers, so we know that if you're going to have a good lesson, you got to plan that sucker out, but also be ready to like call audibles. That's kind of what I saw in terms of your preparation.
Yeah, so Vince Dorn was the former head coach at York. Jason Lepoke is the current head coach at Glenbard West. And obviously, I was the former head coach at OPRF for 12 years. And what a lot of people don't see is that we had a 90-minute practice tonight, but the planning of it took longer than 90. So like you said, everything was planned out to the T, the details, the teaching points. I also do that, and I hand it to the parents, too, so they can see just what the type of quality that their player and their son is getting. I do it for our younger coaches too, so they see just how the practice should be broken down, and it is bracketed out into short chunks, and there's constant movement. But we did have, you know, a kid who was sick, a kid who tweaked something in football earlier, so we did have to call some audibles here and there, or kind of go with 90 minutes is a short window. So all of a sudden you realize maybe we need to spend a little bit more time here, maybe we need to cut this, but it's all based on backwards design. Where do we want them to be by the end of this week? Because this is our final week. And then how do we break it down to get them there? I definitely think that's something that high quality programs and high quality coaches do. But you're right, a lot of people don't see behind the curtain and realize that there's a ton of planning that goes in, not just show up or think about it 5 minutes before.
And in terms of where they're going, you know, I think that's an interesting question, because there are a lot of programs out there. The whole AAU scene is a big conversation when it comes to youth sports. And one of those questions that is raised as well, is this really good for my kid? Is my kid going to benefit from these programs, or is it just like that these things are making money and they're telling my kid that he's going to be the next Jordan or whatever? When you think about it like that, how do you feel like you're fitting into that whole kind of scene with three-level basketball?
Well, as someone who has had over 50 players go on to play college basketball from my 12 years as head coach, I've obviously know Division I down to NAIA to junior college, even the prep school route. So I know a lot of coaches, you know the landscape, and you realize now, and sadly I don't think it's being told to parents, that they are recruiting older, bigger, stronger. So the recruiting game has changed significantly. So for these high school kids, a lot of them won't get recruited until much later, whether it's junior, senior year. So to play in a bunch of tournaments that really have no benefit for them long term, and you're traveling and you're spending a lot of money when you could actually play some of the same teams around here, or focus on skill and the long-term process. Because now with the transfer portal, with the 5 years of eligibility now, they're going to be looking at a 22, 23-year-old, where when I first started coaching, they were recruiting juniors and seniors in high school. So that landscape has changed a ton. So that's why I think there's now a greater need than ever for the skill development to be the focus.
Everyone's gone?
No, rotate, turnover.
Let's go. Who's here? Who's here in the corner?
My ball.
Here on the court, who am I here with?
Will Matricaria.
Brody Nods.
Ben Swatch.
And you guys are all incoming freshmen. What schools?
Hinsdale Central.
I'm in eighth grade.
You're in eighth grade. All right. So tell me, you guys just had a pretty intense practice out there. Why do you like this program? How do you feel it's like growing you as a player?
Obviously, there's great coaches here with lots of experience, which give us a lot of hope.
I think there's just like a lot of fundamentals that are key to our growth and progression.
There's more experienced coaches that can give us more inside information. That other people don't learn until they're in college or ending high school. And I feel like it's more skill-based rather than like you're just out there to play. It's good for like getting you better as a player.
Do you feel that you're growing as a player at all?
For sure. Obviously, these coaches have like taught lots of kids through high school, have taught like many generations, and that kind of just like carries on to us, which helps.
I think that the maturity and the like experience that all the coaches have, it just influenced us to like bring our game to the next level.
Yeah, I think it's made me grow as a player, and I've been able to play against older people and mature as a player and just grow overall.
I just love the competition because these are like the best kids from schools all around, so it's a great competition to hone in on your skills.
I think it's good for like chemistry, and you're making friends with other basketball players. It's really cool to connect with people who have been playing on teams that they were the best on, and now we're all on a team connecting. And I feel like also they give us drills to take off the court so we can grow as a player off the court, not just on the court.
Here, Will goes to me. I go right back. Look at how small the floor is. Yeah, and that's a tough cut. There's defenders loaded up, right? But remember, the ball reverses.
I'm watching you walk through these plays literally on the floor with these kids, and they're like, that's what we want. And then we could take that. And I think sometimes when we think about young kids, oh, they're just going to play basketball, whatever, it's something for them to do. But this is like, you know, applicable to their lives, that structure. And that's, I think, something that you're really trying to focus on, it seems.
Yes, definitely. And I think, you know, from my days as a head coach, the best eighth graders didn't always turn out to be the best players senior year. So sometimes it was the kids who wanted the detail, who wanted the structure, who wanted the teaching and the focus. And so for us, we're thinking, what's the long game here? Not where they're at 14U right now, they're going to be freshmen in high school, but where are they going to be as juniors and seniors? And where are they going to be next year when they join their high school team? Are they going to be a better place? We feel like we also pulled the curtain back a bit to say, like, hey, we've been head coaches for how long? Here's what we look for. Now you know what's going to stand out or what's going to get you, you know, possibly crossed off a list, whether it be in high school or the college recruiting game. And we're just excited that there are players here who are sponges and understand that they are getting some high-level instruction that we think is going to set them apart, whether it be next month, whether it be their freshman season, or as they continue to grow into their bodies and get faster and stronger. We think that they have now an arsenal in terms of their skill development and understanding of the game at a younger age that they then can apply as they get, again, more mature physically.
So the website is 3levelbasketball.com, and people can go to the website, and that's how, if they're hearing this and they're thinking, hey, my kid really loves basketball, is looking for this high level coaching and instruction, they go to the website. What's the process like in terms of joining 3Level?
So again, we started this, Vince Dorn started 3Level basketball training, and we, through the training, there was so much want for the team portion of it and just offering a different product. So this kind of came just a few months ago when we decided to create 3Level teams. So we have that, but we also have a fall series at Glenbard West. It's 5 Sundays, and it's going to be, it ranges from as young as 4th grade up through senior in high school. We have bracketed it out by age groups. Right now we have over 300 people registered for the fall series, which is a really incredible number.
Yeah.
Our incoming freshmen and our rising eighth grade groups are already sold out. There's a wait list there on the boys' side. So we're really excited about that. So that's an opportunity if people want to kind of, we're calling it beat the tryout. Like, what are coaches looking for? What's going to set you apart? What are some of these things you could do at home? We kind of call them the daily vitamin series. What are things you can take and do on your own where you don't have to have a coach around? So we think that's a different offering. There's a lot of fall leagues out there, but that's just oftentimes kind of unstructured. Or even if you're playing with teammates, high school coaches can't be there. So this is an opportunity for us to really provide some high quality instruction before their seasons begin. And then we will have tryouts in the middle of October and again the middle of January for our spring teams next year. So we're going to go from 4th grade up through 17U, which will be juniors going into senior year. And we're going to do it both on the boys and the girls sides. And we're going to have former high school head coaches, current head coaches, current and former varsity assistants. As you saw today, Nate Shockey's one of my assistants. He was an all-state player at York High School. He also played Division I, Division II basketball. I'm doing a clinic tomorrow with Chase Robinson, a former player of mine who played Division II and then Division I at Cleveland State and was an OPRF grad. So we have also former college players, younger guys, to also come back who are trying to get in the game too. And one of our models is also to coach the coaches, to also develop younger coaches who are fresh out of college who want to get into the coaching side of it, and using our experience to kind of help impart that. And then obviously they have high energy. They still have the ability to do things that some of us can't as the years go on. So they, it's great to have their kind of their liveliness on the floor, their ability to not only speak it, but demonstrate it as well.
So 3levelbasketball.com is the website. We want to check that out. And, you know, it took everything in my soul to not get out there and just try to show up some of those kids. Channeling my junior high days at St. Luke's playing basketball. Yeah, it was my glory days.
You were a local legend, at least in your own mind.
that's right. Coach Matt Maloney, one of the founders of 3Level Basketball, and longtime head coach at Oak Park and River Forest High School. This was great, man. Thanks for having us over here, and good luck with everything going forward.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming out and supporting our young athletes and just showcasing a different opportunity for families and players who want to seek that out.
Now, playing ball close out here. Will close to me. I go right back. Look at how small the pool is. There you go. Yeah, that's a tough one. Yes! There it is!
I never cared much for math class when I was in school, which seems fitting considering my full-time job these days is teaching high school history, but learning math at a young age is incredibly important. In fact, a new report notes that, quote, early mathematics skills are the strongest predictor of later academic achievement, and math score gains are associated with 10 to 15% higher adult earnings, end quote. Even so, math achievement in Illinois schools remains below pre-pandemic levels. The report also offers recommendations for improving math proficiency across the state. Joining us today are two of the report's authors. Fee Nguyen is an assistant professor at the University of Illinois Chicago. Fee, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. And Erica Mason is here as well. She's an assistant professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Erica, nice to see you.
Yeah, hi. Excited to be here.
Well, this is really important. And this incredible statistic, you know, at the beginning of your report here, just talking about where we are as a state. According to the nation's report card in 2024, only 38% of Illinois fourth grade students were considered proficient or advanced in mathematics. And then you go on to say here that there are racial disparities where we look at eighth grade students, 59% of white eighth grade students in the state performed at proficient or higher. And then you look at 11% of black students, 22% of Hispanic students, and 18% of economically disadvantaged students performed at comparable levels. So what is going on? Is it COVID? Was it the pandemic that just set us back so much that we are where we are today? Because we don't see this with reading and English language, do we?
Yeah, I will say that I think COVID did not help. But even prior to COVID, like the 2019 Nation's Report Card, I believe less than 40% of Illinois students performed proficient or higher. So we cannot blame it all on COVID. I think historically, we are still not teaching mathematics in the ways that we would like to be. So a lot of the report and a lot of the numeracy plan is around promoting instruction in which students have opportunities to make sense of math, students have opportunities to problem solve and make connections and understand the concepts behind procedures.
And we'll get into that numeracy plan that you mentioned here in just a bit. But Erica, I'll ask you this. You know, Fee mentioned how we're teaching math these days. So generally speaking, you know, I look at this as a teacher and I'm very familiar with history and English, I suppose, and how to teach that. But how are we teaching math in Illinois schools these days? Is there like a general kind of explanation for it, how we're going about this now?
That's an interesting question. It's hard to say because, as you can imagine, we can get really granular and think about individual teachers and individual units and individual topics. And so I hate to make any sort of broad generalizations, but overall, and there is empirical research about sort of teaching and pedagogical trends across mathematics in the United States more broadly. And generally speaking, there are two general schools of thought. Now, again, I should be really clear that this is not the only way to teach math, and there are people who hold a little bit from each bucket. But generally speaking, there are two broad conceptions. One I would characterize as somewhat more traditional in that model. It's perhaps the way all the people on this interview right now were taught. The teacher sort of leading and guiding the instruction. The teacher's way of thinking about mathematics is really central. The teacher might introduce particular ways of thinking about the math. And there are lots of benefits to teaching math in that way. On the other hand, the other way that we find is emerging and is really gaining in popularity for a lot of different reasons kind of relates to what Fee was mentioning about making sense of mathematics. And in that model, having a teacher sort of lead and guide the thinking sort of detracts from opportunities for children to lead and guide their own thinking, even very young children. And so in that model, it's far more sort of problem-based. Students are talking more to each other than the teacher is talking to the children. Children's thinking and children's sense making is really guiding what's happening.
It's hard because you have different ways of teaching. And the thing about teaching is that there are so many variables, I like to say, because the kids are variables, but also the person at the front of the room is a variable, right? We're all different. We all learn differently. We all communicate differently. And so that kind of gets us into this numeracy plan that the Illinois State Board of Education put together and released recently. And the two of you were involved in that plan. So the goal of this plan, what was the goal here, Fee? What were we trying to do with this numeracy plan?
Yeah, I think the goal is to improve student learning outcomes. And to do that are these recommendations about improving instruction. So these, a lot of the recommendations are very much aligned with what Erica was describing, student sense-making, student communication, and talk about mathematics. So there's a lot of recommendations directly to teachers about what are different ways you can teach mathematics. But there's also a lot of recommendations to like principals, district leaders about how you can support teacher learning, and also some to teacher educators, so universities that prepare pre-service teachers, incoming teachers into the profession.
So this plan was put together, but as you write in your report, that's kind of like the, I don't know, like a follow-up to that numeracy plan. The plan is nothing unless it has good legislation to really enforce it and get the kind of process rolling here. So I just want to focus on some of the big areas that you recommend for implementation of this plan. Your report came out July 14th. And again, this is focusing on how the numeracy plan in Illinois can be implemented to improve learning outcomes for students in math. So the first kind of big recommendation here is mandating minimum math instructional time in schools. I did not know that that was not a thing because we already have a mandated at the early levels reading instruction. I think it's 60 minutes. There's nothing like that really that exists for math across the state. So tell us, Fee, if you could expand on that when we think about the mandating the minimum math instructional time.
Yeah, I think for us, it's really just a way to make sure that mathematics is a priority in schools. Like you said, reading is already, there's already a mandate in many schools, especially at the early childhood and elementary levels. Literacy is one of the most important pillars. So we want to make sure that mathematics also gets enough ample time for children so that they do have robust opportunities to learn mathematics. In many schools, they already have over 60 minutes of daily math instruction, but a lot of the teachers that we work with, they also tell us that that's not always the case. So this is just setting a robust minimum standard across the board so that all children, regardless of the school they go to, they have at least some opportunities every day to practice and engage in mathematics.
And this leads into the second kind of big recommendation here is that we should be enhancing teacher licensure requirements. Erica, I want to talk to you about this because, and you bring this up in the report, that sometimes teachers feel that they don't, and this is going to sound crazy, but like they're not familiar enough with the math to actually teach the math. And so when we think about, okay, who is becoming a teacher, a math teacher, when you become a teacher, you have to have certain requirements. So you're thinking about here, the recommendation is enhancing what someone might need to become a math teacher.
Yeah, we focus a lot on the requirements right now at the elementary level because there are some certification areas like being an elementary teacher or being a special education teacher, which are really broad, and they're broad by design, right? So if you're going to become a certified elementary educator, that means you should be qualified to teach children ages kindergarten through fifth grade. But, you know, that's a really wide range.
Right.
Whereas our friends who tend to teach in the middle school and the high school, they're more content experts. So you don't become a 10th grade teacher, you become a math teacher, for example. And so the training is different. And so our focus in the report on thinking about what are the requirements for elementary teachers was sort of addressing the real disparities that exist between the existing programs in our state. And you know, what's interesting about Illinois is that the way that we certify teachers is that we give a lot of autonomy to individual teacher education programs, which is great in many ways. But it also means that different programs can kind of interpret the requirements differently. And so that's why you see in the report, we include this comparison amongst some of the programs in our state to sort of show that across all of these wonderful programs, there's a real difference in what's required and compared to what's recommended.
So the thought here is that if we enhance the requirements needed to get that kind of basic education for these folks who will be teaching at the early grades, that in theory would provide some more confidence, but also better outcomes, because now you have these teachers who know, you know, are more familiar with this content and could deliver it more effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other idea is that we want, as Fee was saying, we want to make sure that Illinois as a state has a really consistent and, again, robust foundational preparation sort of expectation, so that regardless of what program you go to, you can expect to get a pretty comparable teacher education program, one that's going to prepare you to be confident and go into that teaching mathematics in the elementary school with more confidence and with just more knowledge.
Yeah. And when we talk about knowledge and confidence, it's that our teachers not only know the content really well, but they know how children understand that content. And they also know instructional strategies and approaches to support that student's learning. So the knowledge base for teachers is quite broad, and it's way beyond just, do I know the mathematics?
And Fee, you mentioned how to, you know, teach that knowledge to young people. And that leads into this third big recommendation, which is investing in math instructional coaching. Now, that term instructional coaching, if you're not in education, that might sound weird or unfamiliar, but it's essentially like teachers helping out other teachers and training them in the best practices, the most up-to-date research. So you're saying here, Fee, that we should invest in math instructional coaching across the state?
Yes, for sure. And that's really targeted at the current teachers and how can we support students right now in our schools right now. Instructional coaches can do a variety of things at schools. They can help co-plan with teachers, right? Mike, as you probably know, they can go into the classrooms and observe and give feedback to teachers. They can host professional development and ongoing professional learning communities. So lots of great things that professional instructional coaches can do to support teachers learning about mathematics in the moment. One of the recommendations we give in the report is that there's already current infrastructure in Illinois to train and provide these instructional coaches in mathematics. We have a new, is it credential or certificate? It's called the Elementary Math Specialist Certificate in Illinois. And there's currently three universities in Illinois that provides this. So we are really encouraging the legislator to provide funds to train these instructional coaches so that they can serve in schools and support current teachers.
As we think about outcomes here, we want students to have better outcomes. Math is important. I should say, I mean, I started this conversation saying like, I don't like math. Some of my favorite teachers in school were math teachers. And I love that. So where do we go from here? So there's this numeracy plan that's out there and you have these recommendations, but ultimately it comes down to our elected officials. What are they going to do in the next session to make some of this stuff reality? So Erica, is there a plan in place? Are you going to go talk to some of these legislators? What are we going to do here?
That's a great question. I think that we see this report as a really important first step in sort of facilitating that conversation. It's not that you have to do all three of these. It's not that you have to do them all at the same time, but there, I hope, are little sparks of inspiration that folks can find in each of these recommendations where they think, you know, we are well positioned to start that now, or we happen to be one of the school districts that's already employing some sort of instructional coaching model. How could we elevate that? Or how could we draw on other local teacher preparation programs to really get that off the ground? And so I think that's our hope, is that people use this document and the numeracy plan and our report to sort of think about, okay, what could we do today? And really, take it from there and make it relevant to whatever's happening in their local context.
This report, really interesting. We'll post it up at OutsideTheLoopRadio.com and WGNRadio.com. And the two authors of this report, Fee Nguyen, assistant professor at the University of Illinois Chicago, and Erica Mason, assistant professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thank you both so much for your time, all your hard work in education. There's a lot of work to do, so I'm glad you are at it. So thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
And that will do it. Outside the Loop show number 1032 is done. Thank you very much for listening to the show today. Thanks to Bob Ferguson for all of his wonderful help in the WGN radio studio as our engineer. And I hope you have a wonderful week. I will talk to you again next time right here on Outside the Loop.